Hallelujah. God is indeed good. I'm just kind of sitting here enjoying the presence of God. Amen. So y'all just bear with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Were you ready for the word tonight? Let's start in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're teaching on the book of Revelation. And you can't really fully understand Revelation without studying the Gospels, without studying all the New Testament, really, excerpts of it, and especially studying the book of Daniel. Many of the prophecies, but Daniel is just focuses heavily on end time events. And we have a teaching here in Matthew chapter 24 where Jesus starts touching on end time activities. And it says in verse number 1, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple," how marvelous the temple was, how marvelous the buildings were. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, or truly, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." In other words, Jesus said, as great as this temple looks, it's all coming down. In other words, it's a religious structure at this time. The glory is departed from the temple for the most part. And Jesus said, this system is coming down. And we know in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was torn down and not one stone laid upon another. Amen. It was destroyed. And not only destroyed, it was laid waste for nearly 2,000 years. Amen. Jerusalem or Israel was scattered throughout the nations and ceased to be a people of possessing a land. But in 1948, Bobby Jean brought this out the other night. In 1948, Israel was regathered as a nation, given a portion of land back to resettle. Amen. And I believe scriptures tell us, indicate that generation that was here in 1948 will not cease to be until Jesus returns. I believe 1948 established an end time generation, at least in my interpretation. Amen. And that's now been, 65 years ago. That generation is getting older. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. 65 years. This year, I didn't realize that. Praise God. And so, we're in the end times. And so Jesus says in verse number 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They're saying, now see, he talked about coming again. They're saying, when are you coming again? When's the kingdom going to be set up? When is the end of the world going to be? Amen. And he starts telling them signs of the end. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now let me pause right there for just a minute. We're going to read about a lot of signs that are, I'm telling you what, are increasing in magnitude and in number in these times we're in. Amen? I mean, right now the world is poised for war like potentially never before. In World War II, it was every nation pretty much involved in that war, but they didn't have nuclear weapons. Now we've got every nation poised against each other, and they've got stuff that can destroy nations, if not destroy the world. Isn't it amazing that the number one nation they want to destroy is Israel? That these are things that let me know for sure that God is real, the Word is true. That 3,000 years ago, God was prophesying this battle between Ishmael and Isaac. Amen? Between even Jacob and Esau. basically between the Muslims, between Islam and Judaism, prophesied. And today, those two nations, or those two groups of people, are dominating the news as far as end time war potential. Amen. Satan has always wanted to destroy Israel because God has prophesied the end time being centered around Israel. Amen. The book of Revelation, verse chapter 4 through chapter 21, all center primarily with events focused on Israel. So Satan has known if he can destroy Israel, if he can keep them from becoming a nation or destroy that nation, he can stop the move of God because he would shut down the ability of prophecy to be fulfilled. Do you follow me on that? So Satan still wants to destroy Israel. Now, we've been teaching the past few weeks about God's timeline. So let's go back into this timeline for just a few minutes. We talked about that God created the earth in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, right? And we talked about each of these days representing a period of 1,000 years. And that it's now been right at 6,000 years. I mean, give or take. Give or take 50 years at the most. Since the beginning. Amen? Since the beginning of this thing. And so we have here 6 days or 6,000 years. Up to today. Are you following me? We have in here, we know there was a seventh day of rest, 1,000-year millennial reign we've talked about, 1,000 years of rest that is going to take place after the second coming of Christ. After that 1,000 years, it says Satan will be released for a short period of time to try the hearts of men. He'll again be conquered by Jesus, thrown into the pit, and we go into eternity. Eternity future. But in between the end of this 6,000 years and the beginning of this 1,000 years, right at the end sliver, we want to focus on 7 years of tribulation. Now, we've already talked about this, but we believe at the end of this 6,000 years, or right in this vicinity, there is a rapture. The catching away of the church, that the trumpet's going to sound. We spent quite a bit of time last week on this. The trumpet's going to sound, and the church is going to be caught up in the air with Jesus to deliver us from the trials and tribulations to come. We talked about, again, at length last week, that God never causes His people to go through the judgments. It's always been His M.O. or His way of operation to deliver His people in tribulation. But here we have, during this tribulation, what we believe to be, in fact, Scripture makes it clear, 7 years of tribulation. Divided into two groups, each 3.5 years long. Scripture even counts the days of tribulation and great tribulation. So when we start looking at these events Jesus is talking about, there is some debate whether it's talking about pre-rapture events or post-rapture events. Is it talking about the church, or is it talking about Israel, or the both together? Amen. Most consensus seems to be that when Jesus is talking about the end events here, he's talking about these 7 years. But I believe when he's talking about wars and rumors of wars, he's talking about some level of signs that we're going to see leading up to this. Amen. So let's read back through with this understanding. We're looking at the end of the end times. I believe we're very close to the rapture. Again, I've talked about my prediction for the year it's going to take place. We have a few years left. But it's not me saying that's when. No man knows the day or the hour. But I believe we can come up with a season. And I believe that season is coming very, very soon. Amen. I don't believe the rapture can be tomorrow. I don't even believe it'll be this year. Because there's too many promises of the Word regarding the church's manifestation of the glory of God, the bankrupting of the devil, amen, before we're going to see the rapture take place. God's not coming back for a broke, beat down, you know, half-hearted, half-dead bride. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I believe there's more teaching that's got to take place to the church so more anointing and glory can come on the church to fulfill the assignment of God, for the church to bring in the end time harvest of God. Amen. I'll guarantee you right now the harvest hadn't come in yet. And you know, to me, in my natural man, selfish type thinking, I'm thinking, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's get out of here. But I'm so glad He didn't come before I got saved. Amen. And I'm willing to hang around and do the work of God to see more people come into the kingdom. Yeah. And I believe before it's done, God's intention is He harvests the majority of this earth. Amen. So when this tribulation actually takes place, there'll only be a fraction of the population left on the planet anyway. Those that have fully rejected the glory of God and the glorious move of God in the end times. Amen. But the book of Revelation primarily deals with this post-rapture, these post-rapture events. So let's go back there and read this again. Verse number 5. Matthew 24, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, it could be others are going to show up and say, I'm Jesus. In fact, we've had it happen in here a few times already. People have come in and told me they were Jesus. Amen. I didn't believe them. Hallelujah. Maybe it's the alcohol in their breath or, you know, the demons dancing in their eyes that gave it away. But I just really didn't believe they were Jesus. But there were going to be others who are going to show up and claim to be, the word Christ means anointed. Mm-hmm. They're going to claim to be anointed of God. Yes. Now listen, there are many right now are anointed of God. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be some show up, they're going to be lying. In particular, I believe we can put this passage over into the post-rapture events. Because right now, pre-rapture, the world's full of anointed people. The world's full of people carrying the message of God that can stand up and say, I'm anointed of God. Jesus said, I'm anointed. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, right? So Jesus proclaimed He was anointed. We as Christians are to be anointed. And I believe it's okay to speak it. I'm anointed of God. Amen. And then demonstrate it. But after the rapture, the anointed people are going to be gone. Do you follow me? I mean, after the rapture, anybody with a relationship with God, carrying any kind of anointing, I believe is going to be raptured. We'll be out of here. And I believe there's going to be a void of anointing. Not just a void of anointing. Remember we talked about the church as the restraining force from the Antichrist even coming on the scene? And so I believe that because the church is gone, people are going to be hungry for the anointing. Needing to hear a word of God. And somebody's going to stand up and proclaim they are now the anointed one. They are God's anointed representatives on earth. Amen. And during the tribulation, putting this post-rapture, don't believe it. Now, again, let me throw this out. I don't know that anybody really fully understands what Revelation is about. How everything works together. Discussions are held whether or not all the world's coming under tribulation. Many believe only certain nations will come under tribulation. There'll be other sheep nations versus goat nations. Sheep nations won't experience the heaviness of the tribulation. I don't know. Amen. I just know I'm going to be out of here on the first boat. But we do know there will be people rise up and get saved during the tribulation. We know there's going to be two witnesses rise up during the tribulation that are going to do great signs and wonders on the behalf of God. So there will be anointed people rise up. Amen. Amen. But there are going to be leaders rise up and say they are anointed that will be lying. Amen. And deceiving. And Jesus says many will rise up and say, I am Christ. I am anointed. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, right now, you can turn on any news station and hear about wars and rumors of wars. I mean, right now, Iran's got nukes, you know, believed to have nukes pointed at people. China's got nukes. Everybody's got their own, nuclear defense systems they're putting in place to the best of their ability. We're right now on the precipice of nuclear, I believe, Holocaust like never before. I remember as a kid, most of you are too young to remember this, some of you will, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when I was a kid, we discovered through our surveillance planes that Russia was placing nuclear missiles in Cuba. We're talking about, 70 miles off the coast of Florida with very quick deliverance times to America. And so a showdown developed. We told Russia either get these missiles out and don't bring any more because they had boats bringing more of them to Cuba. We set up a blockade and said, if you try to cross this blockade, you don't take these nukes down, we're going to war. Amen. We're gonna blow up your ships. We're going to attack your ships. And everybody had their nuclear systems on standby. And the world knew it. I remember I was, I believe, 9-year-old boy. And everybody was talking about, is this the end of the world? I mean, I was scared. My goodness. The end of the world. It could happen any moment. And everybody was talking about, what are we going to do? In school. Now, I don't know what they show in school now. When I was a child, they would have, especially in Kansas, they would show videos, movies in the school about preparation for tornadoes. How to prepare if a tornado hits your house. In fact, we would, most schools had fire drills. We had tornado drills in the Midwest. But also, they showed us videos on how to survive a nuclear attack. I don't think they show those anymore, do they? Do you remember those? Did they show you those videos? They showed us videos in school of how to survive nuclear attack. Where to hide to have the most protection. What to eat after the attack was over. What foods were safe to eat. Which foods weren't safe to eat. And I'm pretty lengthy videos. You talk about the little kids, we're like terrified. Any day the world's going to end. People were building bomb shelters left and right. But it's amazing. Here we are now, I believe much closer to nuclear Holocaust than ever were 45 years ago. Amen? Or 50 years ago. Praise God, this year, 50 years ago, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Much closer to nuclear Holocaust now than we were then, but we've heard it so much we've become numb to it. I don't know how many of you have bomb shelters. Amen. But probably very few, if any of you. Why? Because, it's kind of like we've heard it forever, nuclear Holocaust. It hadn't happened yet, not going to happen. Amen. Kind of like California, sinking into the sea. If it happens, it happens. And we become numb to hearing these stories. But I'm telling you, we are closer now to nuclear destruction or nuclear war than ever before. Israel, right now, has nations threatening to wipe it out, verbalizing it now to destroy Israel with nuclear weapons. Amen? And the world is ramping up. China's got ships in our territorial waters, warships around our areas. We've got warships over in the Middle East circling. Everybody's ready, trying to put up a front to act as a deterrent. But there's some nations that are controlled by demonic powers that don't care. And it very well could be any day somebody could press a button. and get ready for World War III. Amen. We're in a time of great war rumoring. But in the tribulation, it's going to be ramped up to an even much higher level. Understand, in the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel to give a semblance of peace. And how many people aren't going to trust in it? Rumors of war indicate the approach of the last days, the approach of the second coming of Christ. We're there. Amen. We're in the midst of it. And, I believe a nation, I believe America is blessed of God. I believe God still has plans for America. But I believe without revival, America is in trouble. America cannot continue on the path it's on and remain under the blessing of God. Amen. And I point again to the book The Harbinger as evidence. I believe there's been a breach in the hedge based on decisions this nation has made and continue to make. Oh, glory. I don't have time to go into that tonight either. But apostasies. But the downright dishonesty that's taking place in the government right now in surveillance and cover-ups is unprecedented in the history of this nation. Amen. All pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we separated the tribulation into two sections. The tribulation and the great tribulation. Most believe where he's talking about these events of famines and pestilences. Remember, when we read the book of Revelation, we're going to read about great judgments coming on the earth. 100-pound hailstones. Don't you know those will put a ding in your car? Come through your roof, everything else. That there's going to be plagues that destroy great portions of the world population. Amen. Great pestilences like we've never known in the tribulation. But it's split into two groups, the tribulation and the great tribulation. And here it says, when you hear of famines and pestilences, know that these are the beginning of sorrows. That's believed to be events of the tribulation first 3.5 year period that won't compare to the hardships of the final 3.5 year period. Amen. And again, as we said many times already, we don't know for sure the full revelation, the full, interpretation of the book of Revelation. But we are confident in this. There will be at least one rapture. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And there'll be 7 years of sorrow on the earth. But many believe there'll be multiple raptures. Some believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, which is what I believe. Some believe in a post-tribulation rapture, which I don't believe. And some believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, which could be. Amen. But understand, God intends to deliver His people from the hardships. I intend to be in the right place with God to access full deliverance. Verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for not my name's sake. Let's pause right there for just a second. They shall deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Many people believe that martyrdom is a high calling of God. That we're called to suffer martyrdom for His name's sake. I don't believe that. I don't believe it because I believe the Scriptures promises divine protection. He shall give His angels charge over you. Amen. That through faith you can proclaim, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I believe John the Beloved got a hold of this, and when they tried to boil him in oil, he just took a nice warm bath. Amen. That you have a right to divine protection. But here Jesus says, at some point to this verse regarding martyrdom, that many of you will be killed for my name's sake. He is declaring an event, not a promise. Do you follow me? The Bible is a promise book that has a set of blessings given to us in our inheritance through Jesus Christ. Healing, deliverance, salvation, prosperity, and divine protection. Those are declarations of promises. But Jesus, at times, makes statements of fact, prophetic declarations that are not in line with the promises. So it must be manifested in the lives of people that don't understand the promises. Did you follow me on that? Yes. See, if you don't know the promises of God, you won't necessarily access them. So if it comes time somebody wants to martyr you and you don't know you have a promise to angels watching over you, then they may be able to accomplish that. And understand, in the tribulation, it's going to be filled with baby Christians. If the church is raptured out, and the only thing that's getting people saved are listening to the tapes we left behind, find your Bible all marked up because you're not taking it with you. Amen. And they're getting saved through the tapes or the tracks or whatever we left behind, they're going to be baby Christians. They're going to know very little about faith, very little about divine protection. And the Bible lets us know that in that day, if you try to carry the witness of Jesus Christ, you'll be killed for it. Now again, many say that's worldwide. Others believe that's only in certain nations. That in the sheep nations, you'll be okay to be a Christian, but in the goat nations, you'll be killed. I don't know. I just know the Bible lets us know that many will be killed for the witness of Jesus Christ. So here Jesus is making a declaration of a factual event that's going to take place. Many will be killed. Not a contradiction of the promises of God. Amen. Do you believe Jesus understood divine protection? Did you know He told Peter He'd be killed? Amen. He told Peter He was going to be killed after He rose from the dead. And guess what? Peter was crucified upside down. Does that mean Peter didn't have a promise of God's protection? No, I believe he did. But the point is, Jesus said He'd be killed. It does not negate our right to divine protection. Amen. 11 out of the 12 disciples were executed. Amen. 11 out of 12 were martyred. Does that still mean the word is not true regarding your right to protection? No. No. You have a right to divine protection. Well, they all just finished their course. No, they didn't. James, remember the disciple James, was killed with a sword way early in the church historical timeline. Well before he was old enough to have finished his course. But understand, these guys spent time with Jesus, but it doesn't mean they understood the word fully. Amen. This thing regarding faith and proclaiming the promises of God was new to them. Amen. I believe God's revealing these promises to us, the revelation of them, through time, generation upon generation. And in the end times, God's raising up a church, I believe, that will overcome martyrdom. Amen. But here Jesus says, many shall be killed. It says, and then shall many be offended, verse 10. Shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. there's a lot of betrayal now in the world, even in the church. But can you imagine how much offense and betrayal will be free to operate without the church acting as a restraining force in the world? Without anybody carrying the fullness of the anointing to dominate atmospheres, to hinder evil? When you watch movies of ancient times, say you're watching movies of, you know, I want to say cavemen, but you know, barbarians of ages past, Vikings or whatever, it's always portrayed as a kill or be killed society. Amen? Violence dominating people's lives. Even in the Old West, you watch the Old West movies. I mean, people killing each other. But Billy, the kid, said he killed 21 people. John Wesley, was it John Wesley Hart? Harden? 42 people, I believe, he killed. And he said they never killed anybody that didn't deserve it. I'm glad I didn't run across his path. I had to proclaim angels watch over me. Amen. Barbarism. Unrestrained evil in some situations. If you read any books about non-Christian nations, anybody ever read Shogun? Read the book Shogun? People will kill each other for nothing. I mean, a historically, how can I say, not historically accurate book, but as far as the society historically painted book. I mean, you look at the wrong person wrong, they'll take your head off. No rule of righteousness in operation. And when the church is raptured out, it's going to be like that. We're probably much worse than we've ever thought. Amen. Offense and betrayal. At a level we can't comprehend. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I believe we have that taking place today. I believe we've got men proclaiming to be spokesmen for God rising up even now that are deceiving multitudes. Amen. And because iniquity shall abound. Here we go. Because iniquity shall abound, sin, darkness, evil, wickedness is going to run rampant when the church is taken out of the way. Love is going to wane in people's lives. It's hard to walk in the fullness of love when everybody's trying to kill you. When everybody's taking from you, when everybody's deceiving you, when everybody is undercutting you, amen? And this is love is going to wane in the earth. It's obvious by these passages the church has been taken out of the way. Amen? Because I personally believe that as we grow closer to the rapture, the love of God on the church is going to increase more and more. I believe we're seeing an outpouring of God right now on this ministry like we've never seen before. I've spent time, you know, talking with Pastor Callahan and the other pastors in the ministry, and everybody's ministry is exploding in anointing. Pastor Callahan's all over the earth now. Pastor Jim Oswell, Pastor Phillips, all over the United States. I'm heading to Africa. I've already up to three different groups of churches I'm visiting when I go there. The list keeps expanding. We got another group that's just been added. And miracles are popping. I believe it's this week or next week. No, this week's the faith rally. Within the next week, or it just happened this last weekend, Pastor Phillips going back to Pennsylvania, I believe it is, or Massachusetts, to the church where he raised that baby from the dead. To hold that baby. Amen? I mean, raising a baby from the dead. And I was talking to him the other day, and we're talking about the miracles taking place. Deborah gave the testimony of the stuff she came up with. I forgot about it. When she came in here, she was on an oxygen bottle with a walker. Came and asked you to pray for her because she had, what is it, COPD? Couldn't breathe. Her oxygen level was 80%. Couldn't walk. Had horrendous back and hip pain. So I prayed for her. I forgot about it. It didn't even occur to me the next time she came, she didn't have the oxygen bottle or the walker. Amen. And she gets up and testifies here, you know, after several months, that she got healed that day. And then when Pastor Callan came in, she'd been wearing a catheter for years because of kidney problems, and God healed that. It used to be, this is what I was talking to Pastor Philip about, it used to be for us to operate in miracle power, it'd be like a phenomenal anointing would drop on us. And we'd be so far in the spirit, we couldn't even hardly see in the natural. And we'd get over that realm of faith, and the gift of faith would drop, and we'd see a miracle take place. But now the miracles are popping, and you feel like, you know, you haven't already prayed in tongues enough. Because the outpouring is at such a level. We're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle take place in these churches. In this church and the others we're affiliated with. Why? Because the outpouring has taken place. And guess what? God is on the verge of bringing a revelation of His love like the church has never known. I don't believe in the time we're in, as far as in the revivalist church, the love of God is going to wax cold. I believe it's going to increase and increase. Offense is going to be far from us because of the glory that's on us. So I believe this passage has to be over in the tribulation. Amen. Where there is no outpouring of glory. Only an expectation of disappointment. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The one that gets saved in the tribulation and endures, he'll be saved. Versus folds to the pressures of the enemy to give up on salvation. Now, let me throw this out as well, because in this teaching, I'm trying to bring it in a fashion. I'm not telling you this is what's going to happen, but these are different potentials of what might happen. There could be multiple raptures. I don't know. I'm believing in the pre-trib rapture. That's what I believe the Word shows us. There's also a discussion who's going to be raptured. On the pre-trib rapture moment, at that moment the trump sounds, will all Christians be raptured? Or a remnant of the Christians be raptured? My personal belief is not all Christians are going up in the rapture. Because the Scriptures say the bride has made herself ready. She's prepared herself. Amen. The Lord gave me a word a few years ago. I believe it's been about 2 or 3 years ago now. I was in prayer and He said, those that do not learn how to access divine prosperity now will have to in the tribulation. That believing God, in other words, being able to hear the Spirit well enough to know that God wants you blessed financially, versus hold on to the old traditional thinking, God wants you broke to keep you humble. That if you don't get a hold of the leading edge revelation God is doing, especially regarding money, you're going to miss the rapture. I'm just telling you what came to me through, I believe, divine impartation. I am not convinced all Christians are going up in the rapture. Amen. I believe only those that have made steps by faith to move into the glory of God and are fulfilling God's purposes. I don't believe it'll just be those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe many people that aren't baptized in the Spirit will go up in the rapture. But those that are playing church after they got saved, that are just standing on the edge of the creek, I think they may go through some of the tribulating times. Regardless if it's Christians that miss the rapture, or whether it's people that get saved during the tribulation, it says those that endure to the end shall be saved. Now I want you to think for a second. How hard has it been for you in the season we're in to hold on to your salvation? You've had to fight devils sometimes to hold on to salvation. Amen, especially early on. It's not necessarily a battle anymore. The thought of me backsliding to me is just a joke. That I would quit after all these years, to me, is nonsense. But I certainly don't want to get inflated in pride and leave off prayer and the Word and, you know, spending time with God and let slip what I've built. But when you were early saved, if I can put it like that, saved, you know, early on, you had to fight for your salvation. You had to fight every devil in hell trying to take you out. Even now you got to fight devils trying to take you out of where God wants you. To keep, you know, to keep a hold of the peace of God and not be offended. You're fighting devils for that. Think about how much effort it took you to hold on to just being where God wants you with the right attitude. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when there's no anointed men of God, women of God in the end times really to speak under a high level of anointing? And there's no restraining force of the church on wickedness, and every devil in hell is targeting even those baby Christians versus the leaders, you know, pre-rapture. Did you follow all that? Can you imagine how hard it's going to be to endure to the end? And you as a baby Christian, they tell you, if you don't take this mark, we're going to kill you. If you have a Bible, we're going to kill you. We're going to go back to those days. This world's going to go back to the days. If you have a Bible, they catch you with a Bible, they will kill you. If you say the name of Jesus, they will kill you. You've heard of the Dark Ages. Did you know in the Dark Ages, if you tried to proclaim anything other than the religious standards that had been set, you would be executed? Could be. It was illegal to have a Bible. Illegal to translate the Bible into a common day language. And you think during the tribulation, things are going to be the same as they are now? For you to hold on to salvation will be like living in China, but 100 times worse. You will have to do your praying undercover, your reading undercover. Amen. If you can even find a Bible, because I'm sure they'll all be destroyed. You know, that they can lay their hands on. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Aren't you glad you're going to miss all that?
Yeah.
But there will be people that are saved through the tribulation. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world and for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. Oh, glory to God. Again, this verse, I believe, has dual meaning. I believe the gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached throughout the world before Jesus, before the rapture takes place. And God intends for it to be preached again during the tribulation. Amen. In fact, he's going to raise up two witnesses to do just that. You've heard of the two witnesses in Revelation, right? We're going to read about those. That they can't kill until an appointed time. Amen? They do great signs and wonders. And guess what? God knew when he wrote Revelation, satellite TV would be created. And all the nation, at least through them, are going to hear the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. But then we switch gears with this next verse. Verse number 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. Everybody say by Daniel. By Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now let's pause here for just a second. Again, we're going to go into this into more detail. But during these first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel. He's going to make a covenant of peace with Israel as if he's on their side. But after 3.5 years, he's going to break that covenant and instead turn on Israel, which was always his intention, and try to destroy the people of God. Amen. He's going to come to the temple of God, position himself as if he is God. Amen, and demand worship. So right here, we're going to see the Antichrist fully manifest. who he is. He's against God and the things of God and wants to take over the role of God on this earth. So when we read verse 15 here, it's talking about a shift now from the tribulation to the great tribulation. And it says, when you see this, you better get ready to flee. Now we know an event that takes place toward the end of the tribulation is Israel doesn't need scatter. They flee and hide in the mountains. They hide in the valleys. Amen. And at the end, the Antichrist comes against them as a unit to destroy them once and for all. And Jesus shows up and destroys Antichrist and his forces. Amen. So the ending is happy. But there's 7.5 years of hell before the happy ending takes place. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and woe to them, and to them that give suck in those days. Now here he's talking about that apparently when this event takes place, the scattering is going to be very rapid. Amen. When Antichrist comes in, he's going to come in to destroy the people of God. You better get ready to move quickly. Don't try to take anything with you. And it's going to be hard on mothers with children. Really hard on anybody, but woe to those that have children. He says in verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now here we can tell that he's talking to the Jews. Amen, because he's talking about the Sabbath day. The Jews are going to be still trying to follow the Old Testament law. We know as Christians, we've been set free from the Sabbath. From the Old Testament rules and regulations, right? But he's referring to the hardship of the Jews here. Not us, not the Gentiles, but the Jews. And he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. So we don't know what month he's going to set himself up. We don't know when these attacks are going to take place. But he says, pray that it's not in the winter because the hardship of trying to flee is going to be even more difficult. I'm so glad we're going to escape these days. Yeah. Amen. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. There's the great tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. That he says is unlike the world has ever seen. So this tribulation is going to overshadow the flood of Noah. And the flood of Noah destroyed everybody on the earth except for Noah and his family. But you know what? They just drowned. In the book of Revelation, it's going to talk about men will desire to die and can't. That they'll not just drown, they will be in torment. Amen. I believe God's judgment for the most part has been stored up through these first 6,000 years of man's work, for the majority of it, waiting for the end of the time of the Gentiles to be released upon the rebellious in the tribulation period. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth in those days. Amen. Now again, why are we studying this? For one reason, to be happy we're going to miss it. But the book says, Scripture says, the one that reads the book of Revelation will be blessed. I'm after the blessing of God. Amen? And I believe we're supposed to act as a sentry, as a people on the wall to warn those of what's coming. It says, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Remember it said, those that endure to the end shall be saved? Well, if God didn't shorten the days to the 7 years, if it continued very much beyond that, it makes it clear the hardships are going to be so great, nobody could be saved. Nobody can endure. In other words, to endure and hold on to your salvation during the tribulation is going to take all that you have. All the faith you can muster, all the courage you can put together, amen, to hold on. But again, many will be saved. I believe it's going to be a time of many people crying out to God with all of their hearts. Amen. And God's faithful and He will show up. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Now let's pause here for just a second. We're talking about a passage here, I believe, is taking place during the tribulation and the great tribulation. So many people try to take excerpts out of this passage and put it into today regarding people rising up and saying, I'm in Christ or I'm anointed. When I believe really this is primarily talking about the tribulation and great tribulation period. Apparently there's going to be a whole lot of witnesses rise up and say they are God's representative and demonstrate lying signs and wonders to prove it. Amen. To deceive, to attempt to deceive the very elect, those that have chosen to choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you think it's hard to hold on to salvation now, and it's really not, then it will be. Amen. Because you'll have not only unrestrained evil trying to destroy the elect, you'll have deception reigning at high levels to delude man. You better know the Holy Spirit to hold on, to be able to sort it out. Verse 25, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. In other words, during this tribulation time, there's not going to be any manifestation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably not going to be any manifestation of any great Christian leaders. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He's saying, in the midst of all this, I'm not in the midst of it, at the end of all this, at the end of these 7 years, as the days are shortened, Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe the second coming is going to be taking place at the point that the Antichrist has Israel surrounded. Amen. Regarding Armageddon, he's going to have Israel surrounded. I believe the devil believes he's going to destroy the people of God for the very final time. I believe the church is going to be on their last leg for the most part. Hanging on to salvation, the devil believes he's about to win for the final time. And just before Satan pushes the button or pulls the trigger to destroy Israel, Jesus is going to appear in the air, amen, with us following, and destroy the rebellious with the words of his mouth and to redeem Israel. Because they're going to call upon Jesus at that time that they're surrounded. These events sound far-fetched. They sound, you know, to a person that's not been in the Word, ludicrous. I would say you minister most of this to the average Jew and they would think you were crazy. But I'm telling you, look at world events right now. This was written 2,000 years ago. The book of Daniel written, what, 2,600 years ago. Thousands of years between the writings of these narratives and today. And look at the state of world events now. Everything is pointing at this being about to take place. You know, through history, there have been hundreds of nations that have ceased to exist. Hundreds, if not thousands of nations that have ceased to exist. Lands and peoples where the map has been changed, boundaries and borders have been altered. Amen. Even in our lifetime, many nations no longer exist. How many in here have ever heard of Yugoslavia? Yeah. It's not there anymore. Or Czechoslovakia. I said the wrong one, right? Czechoslovakia. It's not there anymore. It's all been altered. Boundaries have changed. Amen. Almost 2,000 years ago, Israel ceased to be a nation. Scattered throughout the world. Learned other people's languages. Amen. Assimilated into their cultures. But somehow, I believe, through the divine guardianship of God, maintained their Israeli heritage. Maintained their genealogical records and standings. Refused to intermarry for the most part with other nations. And Israel for 2,000 years continued to be a people but ceased to be a nation with their own land. How does that happen? How does that happen? What is your national heritage? I've got blood from nations all over the place. I'm German. I'm half German. Scotch-Irish. Stuff. I mean, blood from all different places. Amen? That all you can do is call me now an American. People look at me and say, well, you're a half German, Scotch-Irish, da-da-da-da, name all the names, you know? I'm an American. Why? I ceased to be considered part of my past lineage from that land. But Israel didn't. How many can name a people on the earth today? How many can name a people on the earth today who no longer have a land, haven't had a land for 1,000 years, and still cease to be that nation? None. Only one. Israel. Somehow God protected Israel to stay a people even though they ceased to have a land, even though they were scattered. Amen. Even though during the time of scattering, Satan continually tried to destroy them. Why did Hitler target the Jews? They didn't even have a land. But yet he wanted to destroy them. To stop them from regathering as a nation and fulfilling prophecy. Do you recognize the mathematical impossibilities of everything Jesus wrote about, everything Daniel wrote about regarding Israel? That today, all indicators are it's about to take place exactly as they said. How does that happen? Through the foreknowledge and divine guidance of God. If everything God prophesied regarding Israel, regathering as a nation, maintaining their national heritage, even being back in Jerusalem, because we could have given Israel any land. Amen? I mean, who's to say that when we regathered Israel, we didn't just give them, you know, Massachusetts, which would have been fine with me. Amen. Or Connecticut, California. Amen. But that didn't happen like that. They got back their original heritage. And as Bobby Jean said in 67, took back Jerusalem. God's directed the whole thing. He's guided the whole thing. And now we question that the rest of the events discussed here regarding the tribulation and great tribulation won't take place. I guarantee they're going to take place. And they're going to take place very, very soon. We are in the end of the end of the end times. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Oh, I'm out of time. Never mind. Praise God. We'll go to Daniel chapter 12 next week. Probably. what we're doing is we're laying some of the groundwork for, so when we get into the book of Revelation, we understand some of the parameters or the timeline regarding what's taking place. Amen? And I'm believing by the time we get into it, it's going to start to make sense to us. Father, seal the word in us and cause us to embrace all you're doing in us as an end time church. We thank you for the pre-tribulation rapture. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Show the love of God. Be a blessing.